Radio Prague News. The Czech general election has ended in deadlock, although the opposition Civic Democrats have won the largest share of the vote. The Prime Minister and Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek has said his party is considering challenging the validity of the election. And the Civic Democrat chief Mirek Topolánek has said he's prepared to launch talks on a coalition government. The weekend's general election has ended in deadlock, with the right-of-center opposition Civic Democrats winning the largest share of the vote, but with no clear prospect of forming a majority government. With over 35% of the vote, the party came just 3% ahead of the ruling Social Democrats. Three other parties got into parliament: the Communists, the Christian Democrats and the Green Party. The official results gave the Civic Democrats 81 parliamentary seats, the Social Democrats 74, the Communists 26, the Christian Democrats 13 and the Greens 6 seats in the 200-seat chamber. This gives the Civic Democrats and their two smaller centrist allies, the Christian Democrats and the Greens, exactly half of seats, with the rest going to the ruling Social Democrats and the Communists. The leader of the winning party, the Civic Democrats, Mirek Topolánek, welcomed the strong turnout, just under 65%.
65% is more than in the last elections 4 years ago. And I think voters understood that it's very needed to take part in these elections and to decide about our direction after elections, because the threat of Social Democrats and Communist coalition was very strong and voters understood it.
The result comes well short of being a clear victory for the right, but political analyst Jiří Pehe told Radio Prague that the Czech Republic is no stranger to political deadlock and weak government.
Anyone who follows politics, and especially Czech politics, must know that the nature of Czech politics is such that in the end we have coalition governments or weak minority governments, and that the policy of the government will be basically centrist. It was naive to expect that there would be a radical shift to the right or a radical shift to the left.
At a special news conference on Saturday evening, the leader of the Social Democrats, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, refused to admit defeat and said his party was considering challenging the validity of the election in court because of the nature of the campaign.
Zákon o volbách pak umožňuje ve smyslu paragrafu 87 odstavec 4.
Under the election law, it is possible to challenge the legal validity of the election if there is reason to believe the law was broken in a way which could influence the results of the election. We will look into the possibility of lodging a complaint with the Supreme Administrative Court. That would need to be done within 10 days of the announcement of the results.
Mr. Paroubek said that the Civic Democrats had led a dishonest smear campaign against his Social Democrats. He also called into question the Civic Democrats' ability to put together a majority government. In response to the Prime Minister's words, President Václav Klaus said late on Saturday evening that he was shocked by Mr. Paroubek's statements and said that, in his opinion, the Prime Minister was unable to accept defeat. President Klaus reiterated that he would start talks with the Civic Democrats over forming a new government on Monday. However, a presidential adviser said on Sunday that President Klaus would not formally entrust Mr. Topolánek with the task of forming a new government, the normal procedure following elections in the Czech Republic. Speaking in a debate on Czech television on Sunday, the Civic Democrat chief Mirek Topolánek said that, with the exception of the Communists, he would not exclude any party from coalition talks. If his Civic Democrats fail to put together a government, Mr. Topolánek said he will step down as party chairman. Prime Minister and Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek said he was going to recommend to his party to go into opposition. The chairman of the Communist Party, Vojtěch Filip, called for a government of national unity, combining all five parties in the lower house. However, the other parties said they would not form a government with the Communists, who lost a third of their seats compared with 4 years ago. One of the winners of the Czech election was the Green Party, which entered parliament for the first time. The party leader, Martin Bursík, was delighted at the result.
Frankly, I'm very happy about that. The Czech Green Party is going to get to the parliament, and we are going to be the first Green Party in former Central and Eastern Europe, and we are prepared to assist and to help our partners in other former Central and East European parties.
While no solution to the current stalemate has been put forward, the leaders of the elected parties have agreed that some changes need to be made to the election rules to prevent such draws in the future. While the Civic Democrats are in favour of a majority system, the Christian Democrats suggest changing the number of MPs in the chamber to 199 instead of the current 200. The remaining three parties favour a proportional representation system in a form which was in effect in this country until 5 years ago, when certain modifications were added. For the second time, Czechs living abroad were also able to take part in the elections at embassies and consulates. Most of them gave their votes to the Civic Democrats, who received over 50% of the vote abroad. The Social Democrats got under 16%, on a par with the Greens. 10% of Czech voters abroad voted for the Christian Democrats. The Communists got only 2%. And finally, a glance at the weather. It should be partly cloudy and chilly in the next few days, with daytime temperatures ranging from 12 to 16 degrees Celsius. Occasional rain is forecast in most parts of the country. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
Your station is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. In today's program, we answer your letters in Mailbox. That's followed by Czech Books, in which we meet the editor of a new collection of short stories by Czech women authors. But first, I'm joined by Pavla Horáková with Mailbox.
Welcome to Mailbox. Another month has passed, which means we need to announce the winners of our monthly competition, as well as the correct answer to our question. This is the question we asked in May. A well-known South American poet who received the Nobel Prize for Literature wrote under a pen name which he adopted from a 19th century Czech poet and journalist. What was the name of the Czech author? As usual, we've received a lot of answers, but this time also quite a few wrong ones. The man in question was not Jaroslav Seifert, nor Milan Kundera, nor Karel Jaromír Erben. A few people also wrote Pablo Neruda, who's of course the Chilean Nobel laureate, but we asked you to tell us the name of the Czech author whose surname Pablo Neruda took as his pen name. So the correct answer is Jan Neruda. And Hrishab Sandilia, who follows us in Prague, wrote...
Pablo Neruda, the Chilean writer whose real name, Ricardo Neftali Reyes Basso Alto, adopted his pseudonym from the Czech writer Jan Neruda, who was one of the most prominent Czech realist writers. Neruda Street in Malastrana is named after him.
And David Wright listens to Radio Prague in South Wales.
It is from Jan Neruda that the Chilean poet Pablo Neruda takes his name. Jan Neruda, born in Prague in 1834, was a poet, political columnist, and master of the art of the feuilleton, of which he published over 2,000 during his life. His social commentary and observations of 19th-century Prague are often favourably compared to the writings of Charles Dickens.
And Angelia Baranek from Australia adds,
Jan Neruda's most popular prose work was Povídky Malostranské, Tales of the Little Quarter, a collection of short stories which were translated into English in 1957. These stories take the reader into an imaginative stroll of the streets, yards, shops, churches, houses and restaurants of the Malastrana during the 1800s. Another great Czech.
Peter Valek listens to us in the United Kingdom.
As a Prague-born British national who left Prague at 9 months of age, unable to speak Czech but who is besotted with my hometown, I would suggest that the answer to your May question is Jan Neruda, after whom the steeply descending street from Hradčany to Malostranské náměstí is named, with a house in which he was born.
And our listener Miki Ramo Kalkus from Spain had this to say.
The Czech author is Jan Neruda. His name was used by the Chilean author Pablo Neruda. Here in Spain, most people don't know about the Czech author, but they've all read Pablo Neruda. When I tell them that his name was taken from a well-known Czech writer, they're surprised.
Our regular listener Gina Tenkel lives in Boston, United States.
I have to admit, I had no idea that Pablo took Jan's name. No one mentioned that when I went to school in Prague in the 1950s and 60s. Actually, Pablo Neruda's name was not in the curriculum at all.
Phil McVeigh from Cornwall provides an interesting angle on how Pablo Neruda came to choose his pen name.
The Nobel Prize winner Neftali Ricardo Reyes Basoalto took his pen name, Pablo Neruda, from Jan Neruda. Interesting to note is how many literary articles state that he chose his name in homage to Neruda. The truth is a lot more prosaic. Even the Nobel Prize official website gets it wrong. Many people asked him why, and he never revealed this until his memoirs. The reason he chose Neruda? His father didn't like the idea of him being a poet, so he chose a name at random from a magazine for his first collection of poems. Only later did he realize how grave when he visited Czechoslovakia.
Our regular listener Mario Lukranek is writing from Texas.
I would speculate that Pablo Neruda was attracted to and found a literary kinship to Jan Neruda's romantic, patriotic writings, although he had leftist leanings and admired Stalin. Pablo Neruda left a legacy as one of the most influential writers in South America, recording its political struggles to the left and much of its socio-historical development in the 20th century. I'm beginning to see how respected Czech culture is in the world. The depth of the influence in Latin America was not known to me before your introductions. This is quite an eye-opener, as we say in America.
And Charles Konechny listens to us in Ohio.
I am not caught up in the works of poets, since it is difficult to know what most poems mean unless you can figure it out by reading the title. This is in comparison to writers who must have a beginning, a middle, and an end, plus hold your interest for 200 to 300 pages. However, I know poets must have their place in society, and if they are to be held by their peers in great esteem, then so be it. I suppose I am also down on Pablo Neruda, who took Jan Neruda's name, because he tried to put a human face on communism through his poems, instead of that of an iron fist.
And finally, Roy Kitson listens to Radio Prague in Northern Ireland.
The answer to this month's quiz is Jan Neruda, who I know best as the author of the marvellous Povídky malostranské, relating marvellous and humorous, as well as serious tales of the little side in Prague in the 19th century, a book which certainly helped me fall in love with the country and its language.
And this month's lucky four are Phil McVeigh from the UK, Zenon Teles from India, Charles Konechny from the United States, and the main prize goes to Roy Kitson from Northern Ireland. Congratulations. And we have just enough time to announce a new question for June. Around 24 countries of the world use dollars as their national currencies, with the United States dollar being the world's most widely circulated currency. But not all of those who use dollars may be aware that there is a connection between the dollar and the Czech Republic. What is the connection? Please send us your suggestions by the end of June to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, or english@radio.cz. We'll be looking forward to your answers.
Thank you very much for that, Pavla Harakova. You're tuned to Radio Prague, where it's time for me to hand you over to Bernie Higgins. Bernie joins us for Czech Books, in which her guest today is Nancy Hawker.
Welcome to Czech Books, and Nancy Hawker is with me today. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
She has just edited a wonderful new collection of short stories by Czech women called Povídky, and it's being launched this week, and Nancy's in the studio to talk about the book and the authors.
I became involved with the publisher, Telegram Books, who is publishing a series of collections of short stories by women from various countries around the world. They knew my work from another area, and they knew I spoke Czech and could read Czech, and they decided to commission me with this project, and I was thrilled because, on the one hand, I think it's a very good idea to publish Czech women, especially, and short stories by women from different parts of the world, and also because I grew up here, that's why in the Czech Republic, that's why I have a special relationship to this country, and I'm interested in a question of women and women literature, so I decided to take it on.
And the collection features 14 different authors, and these range from those who remember life before communism and people who were born recently. How did you go about making this selection? Because in your introduction, you claim that you're not aiming at being representative in any literary way.
The emphasis was on literature published after 1989, but throughout my reading, I read everything I came across or everything that was recommended to me from various sources. I'm very grateful for the help of many experts, and I came across this problem of continuity and wanting to bring together a book which said something about the Czech Republic, not only about literature. And I decided to broaden the scope a little bit. There are a few stories published under communism, and some of the authors were born before 48. Some of them were born during the First Republic, and one of them was born under the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So it's not only young authors, but I think all of them have something modern to say about today, and that was how I came to this selection.
Also in the selection, you feature Roma writers. Could you say something about their inclusion and why you wanted to feature writers writing not only in the Czech language?
I think what makes this anthology perhaps not so much a part of a literary debate, but more of a book for the general interested public, because it's about this country. And I was specifically interested in bringing Roma writers because they are part of this society and they've never been included in an anthology of Czech literature. It's a problem. I had to make a decision whether Romani and German writing could be included in a Czech anthology. But I think it was worth it because it will be of interest to the readers to see the variety of voices in this country.
I'd just like now to read a small part of one of the stories written in Romani. This is a short story by Erika Olahová called A Child, and it's about a woman who is married and hasn't thus far been able to give birth, and then she's left one day alone in the house with her father-in-law. She was woken by his alcoholic breath, and he was crushing her completely with the weight of his body. She couldn't resist in any way, not even by screaming. He had covered her mouth with his huge hand, and helplessly she looked into his crimson face. When he'd finished, he stood over her and told her she mustn't tell anyone. Anyway, they wouldn't believe her. He slammed the door shut, and she could only hear the clock clanging in time with the beating of her frightened heart. Her husband came home about an hour later, didn't even turn the light on, lay down next to her, turned over, and soon fell asleep. He did not embrace her or even touch her, as if she were not there at all. She wanted to tell him everything, but had no strength left in her, and she spent the rest of the night staring into the dark. Her thoughts, fear, and humiliation mingled with the tears that streamed down her cheeks. The old man continued to ignore her, just as he had before, but her mother-in-law looked on with a smile as she threw up in the mornings and as her curves grew nicely. The smile returned to her husband's dark face, and he was kinder and more generous to her. The neighbours finally had something to talk about, while Roska and her mother-in-law prepared the baby's outfits and discussed what name to give it. One month before the birth was due, she had a dream. In it, she saw her father-in-law and a child that resembled him. In the dream, they were very evil and hurting her. When she woke up in terror, she could still hear their fearful laughter. She broke out in a cold sweat. She already knew that she didn't want the child, that it would bring her damnation all her living days. And in fact, the story goes on in a very sinister and disturbing fashion. Could you say that the stories had anything in common?
I think the contribution of women writers to literature is that they take relationships to be a fact of life and they deal with it as such, and that this is an alternative view to relationships. And I think you can see it very clearly in the stories that even though relationships, it's not about relationships, it's about life. But it is an essential component. There's always an element of the relationship between genders or gender roles or expectations of gender roles, and they modify this or subvert it or give their specific angle on it. And I think you can find this not only in the Czech women's short stories, but as I was reading or working on the other collections in this series, you could some of the situations between women or in regards to children or other members of the family were repeated in the Palestinian anthologies, in the Lebanese, in the Iranian anthologies. It was interesting actually to see some patterns emerging throughout the world, even if we do not believe in women's unity or some kind of women's alternative. There are still patterns that are significant, and this is, I think, why it makes it interesting for everybody to read.
You mentioned that many of the writers write very interestingly about relationships. I think one of the best examples from this selection is the short story mini novel by Alexandra Berkova, who's one of the best known Czech authors. And this is stylistically very, very playful. And the story is told from the point of view of the unborn child.
And Mom said, "Darling, today let's go out for dinner instead of cleaning. Our son has a craving for a steak." And Dad said, "Anything for our daughter. But while we're on the subject, my mum may drop by to see you too." And Mum said, "Ah." Dad said, "Be nice to her. She always wanted to find me a bride, and we sort of sidestepped her." And Mum said, "Ah." And Dad said, "Maybe she won't come. I told her to leave you alone." And Mum said, "Ah, And 3 days later, a 50-year-old lady came and said, "I came to see who's taking away my only son." And Mum said, "Please sit down." And she said, "My son is still a child. You have no right to take him from me." Mum drew a deep breath, and the lady said, "You're taking away my only son. You're devious, 3 years older than him, and divorced, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm willing to reach an agreement with you." And she took out her wallet. And Mum blushed and said, "We won't reach an agreement that way. Please sit down." And she remained standing and said, "No need to be ashamed. Obviously, you've found out what sort of family little Petr comes from. Otherwise, you wouldn't have picked him. And if you knew who his father was, you wouldn't have dared." And Mum said, "Won't you take a seat?" And the lady said, "Little Petr has only just finished his studies. He has to build a career. I must protect my child." And Mum said, "Don't you care about Petr's child?" And she said, "Is it really his?" And Mum went red in the face and said, "I don't know about you, madam, but I..." And the lady said, "I won't be insulted by some..." And Mum said, "I apologize for wasting your precious time." And she stood up. And the lady said, "I know that little Petr is not sure either." And Mum said, "Goodbye." And she opened the door.
All of these short stories are in English translation for the first time, I believe. And you haven't just chosen to include fiction in the collection, have you? Why did you choose also to include memoir?
The two authors I selected for those pieces that aren't actually fiction have an amazing life story. I thought this would be of interest to the readers. It also betrays the fact that this book is not only about literature, but also about the Czech Republic, and whether people who come here to live here or to visit this place would like to buy this book and read about it. I think they will enjoy these pieces of memoirs from Tera Fabianova, who grew up in the 30s in a Roma set, and of Lenka Reinerova, who was a German Jewish lady living in Prague also in the 30s. And their life stories are so amazing that, in fact, today we could read them as fiction, but they are also part of the history of this country.
Thank you very, very much for talking to me today about the collection Povídky. And I would maybe like to end by reading an extract from just one more writer. There's so many to choose from. And this is a short piece by Anna Zonová, who was born in 1962 in Slovakia. And this is about a married couple, and it's called One Pistachio Ice Cream. "The Pelners moved into our block of flats 5 months ago. But she finds the Pelners happier than us. I have the impression that they live a full life," she said last week, just before we went to sleep. "What do you mean, a full life?" I said. "Can you define what you mean by that or describe it more precisely?" "Mrs. Pelnerova sells ice cream from a stall in front of the confectionery shop." "I didn't know that," I replied. I'd love to be a 24-year-old gypsy woman weighing 80 kilos, she went on. I would sell ice cream at a stall. I would make slow, lazy movements, not ungainly, just unhurried, taking pleasure in every step, movement and bow. I would have 8 different colours of Algida ice cream on offer, chocolate, hazelnut, lemon, strawberry, pistachio, banana, orange and blueberry. That's the one I love best. In the evenings, I'd feed my 5 children and get properly laid by my 5th man, and again in the morning I would feel happiness. I wouldn't worry about the pain and suffering of refugees from any country, the starving people of Africa, the abrutedness of American Indians or Sudeten Ruthenians. I wouldn't be brought down by unhappy relationships, by my friend's terminal illness. I wouldn't miss orgasm, and my thoughts would not turn to promiscuity. Her declaration startled me. So thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you.
If you'd like to comment on this or any other of our programmes, please get in touch with us on english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, and on our website, www.radio.cz. In the section for the programme checkbooks, you'll be able to check up on the details about this book, Povidky, that's P-O-V-I-D-K-Y, which is edited by Nancy Hawker.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.